Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, what are the similarities and differences between the Hebrew and English versions of Israel's story? Israel Story, or Sipur Israeli, is a radio initiative that brings high-quality, long-form, non-fiction content to and about Israel. It began as a small podcast in Hebrew meant for family and friends. The show was soon picked up by Israel's leading national radio station, and the response was so overwhelming that they continued to produce stories in Hebrew and soon expanded into English. These are everyday stories told by and about regular Israelis. The idea is to tell the story of a different, diverse Israel by bringing multifaceted narratives on thought-provoking themes that are not related to politics and other news that you hear all the time. They do this by giving a voice to those who are rarely heard on the mainstream media in order to showcase and celebrate the plurality of local communities and traditions. This week, we're speaking with Dr. Mishi Harman, the co-founder and host of the show.
Thank you very much for speaking with us today, Mishi. First, I'd like to ask you a little bit about your own background, like where you're from, your education, your profession.
Sure. Hi, nice to be on the show. It's a real honor and pleasure. My name is Mishi Harman, and I was born in Jerusalem. I'm 35 years old, and I lived in Jerusalem my entire life, went to the army, and then after the army in Israel, I came to the States, and I did my undergrad in history at Harvard, and then got a scholarship to go do a master's in archaeology in Cambridge, England, and came back and taught a little bit at Harvard for a while, and then returned to Israel and did my PhD at the Hebrew University. It was a biography of the first Protestant missionary who worked in Ethiopia. And while I was working on the PhD, together with three of my childhood friends, we founded Israel Story, or Sipur Israeli, which is storytelling podcast and radio show. It was one of the first podcasts in Israel, and it's a national radio show, which now has hundreds of thousands of listeners in more than 190 countries around the world. So that's become my profession in recent years.
Now, you say that you were inspired by This American Life. Could you briefly explain to our audience what that is, because a lot of people may not be familiar with it?
Sure. So This American Life is a radio show and podcast in the States, which is now about 25 years old. And it is in really every possible way kind of the Ur podcast, meaning that it introduced a new style of audio storytelling, which was very personal and kind of a mixture of journalism, storytelling, at times art, and basically entertainment. It's hosted by a man called Ira Glass, who has essentially, as far as I'm concerned, established a field. And you can trace almost all of the podcasts. There's about 600,000 active podcasts at the moment in iTunes. And you can trace really the majority of them to This American Life, to this kind of very careful, well-researched, heavily produced, well-written audio storytelling. And that was the inspiration for us as well. And I think we're not so unique in that capacity. I was introduced to podcasting through This American Life and thought that it was perhaps the most exciting thing that that I had encountered, because it allows you to go on this kind of magical journey in which you're going for a drive, or you're taking the dogs out, or you're washing the dishes or whatever, but suddenly through your earphones, you're transported to all these lives of people whom you never otherwise meet or encounter. And you hear them recounting their most intimate, joyous, painful moments of life. And really, for someone who's never heard this, I would say that the best analogy is that it's like a documentary film, but just the audio version.
Can you tell us first about the original Hebrew Israel story? When did you start it, and who was your target audience, and where did you find the stories?
Sure. So when we first set off, we were four friends. We had all grown up together in the youth movement, in a tiny youth movement called MOM, which belongs to the Masorti or conservative youth, religious movement in Jerusalem, in Israel. And we had this dream to create an Israeli This American Life, and podcasting really was not a thing in Israel. It still is very much in its infancy. But at the time, there were literally maybe one or two other podcasts. And we realized very quickly that our biggest problem was that none of us had any experience or knowledge or business really making a podcast, because we didn't come from this world. We weren't journalists. We weren't writers. We hadn't worked in the media. We weren't part of Galei Tzahal, which is the IDF radio station, which is basically training grounds for most Israeli media people. We were just very, very far away from that. And we reached out to This American Life and said sort of sheepishly that we were a bunch of Israelis. Each one at the time was, you know, involved in something completely different. I was writing my PhD. One was doing a PhD in neuroscience. One was a clinical psychologist. One was working with delinquent youth in South Tel Aviv. And we said, here we are, this group of eager fans, and we want to create a local version. And they were very, very nice and sort of indulged us and taught us how to record and how to edit. And, you know, one of the things we were saying, one of the things that we had to determine early on was who we were writing for, who our audience was, what we wanted to capture. And really the whole idea behind creating Sipur Israeli was that Israel is this relatively fragmented society in which you have a lot of groups living very different lifestyles, all one next to the other. And in reality, if we're completely honest about it, there's very little interaction between these groups. So I grew up in Jerusalem. I lived there my whole life, essentially. And, you know, there's 900,000 people living in Jerusalem. About a third of them are Arabs. About a quarter of them are Haredim. And the truth of the matter is that on a daily basis, you basically don't have any interaction with Haredim or Arabs, or at least I didn't. And what happens is that you, because of the proximity of it all and the smallness of it all, you see people from different groups all the time. You see them in the supermarket and in the marketplace and in the bus and in the bank and on the street or whatever. But you don't really have any deep interaction or deep conversation. So you see someone, you notice what he or she is wearing, what they have on their head, what they don't have on their head, what color skin they have, and you immediately sort of try to put them in a box and pile all kinds of assumptions that you have up on this. So you think that you know what their family structure is like, or what their dinner table looks like, or what newspapers they read, or what their political opinions are, or what they did or didn't do in the army, and so on and so forth. And you think that you know so much about them, in fact, that that there's no real need to engage, because you know everything there is to know about them. So what our show was attempting to do early on was that by stripping the visual, we thought we would allow listeners to suspend their judgment just a little bit longer so that they could actually listen to the words that people were saying, people whom they would never otherwise actually talk to. And That was sort of the starting point for a podcast in Hebrew.
Was it hard to find people to participate? Where did you find them?
You know, it's an interesting thing. I I often think of my my microphone like a magic wand, because what it allows you to do is it allows you to go up to a complete stranger and ask him or her to talk to you, which is something that, you know, normal life perhaps is a little bit more awkward and doesn't happen as much. And what we discovered was that people actually love telling their story. You know, most people, we make a point of telling stories of people who are usually not, you know, in the media. They're not being asked to be interviewed and so on and so forth. And very rarely, if you think about it in the context of your own life, very rarely are people approached and have some stranger actually show a lot of interest in something that they did or something that happened to them. And the kind of storytelling that we do is it's not at all yellow journalism of coming for a second and wanting them immediately to spout out their story. We sit with people for hours on end and really get into the story and talk to other characters who are relevant to the story. So most people actually are very eager to participate and are very, very happy to have their story out there in the world. Of course, it's not everyone. And of course, in certain communities, it's more challenging than in others. You know, certain communities in Israel are perhaps more closed and less open to this kind of exploration or adventure. But by and large, people were very, very eager to participate until today. And, you know, as the show grew and grew, then, of course, more people were interested in participating and telling their story.
Do you know who your audience is? Do you know more or less the profile of who listens?
Yeah, we know a lot about our audience. Well, when we first started off, we thought that almost all of our listeners would be people pretty similar to ourselves. So, you know, younger people, you know, more secular perhaps, with, you know, university degrees or whatever, living in Jerusalem, living in Tel Aviv. And we were very surprised early on to see that the appeal of stories is really quite universal. So we were surprised to learn that there were a lot of settlers in the West Bank who were listening to us, and ultra-Orthodox Jews who were listening to us, and Palestinians who were listening to us. And then a year later, when we started our English language show as well, we, of course, predicted that the majority of our listeners would be, at least initially, Jews and American Jews. And to this day, that they are the largest group among our listeners. But we have listeners, as I said, in more than 190 countries in the world, and we have listeners in all kinds of countries that you wouldn't even imagine, Iran and Korea and Indonesia and from all profiles, and we hear from people from all over the world. And, you know, we're very glad, because essentially one of the ideas behind the moving into an English language show was to expand the circle of the conversation around Israel and to bring in people who perhaps otherwise are not particularly engaged with Israel or view Israel only as a political actor or as a religious, Jewish homeland or whatever. And we were very, very encouraged to see that people, in fact, that stories resonate. I mean, you know, you don't have to be Jewish and you don't have to be a Zionist and you don't have to love Bibi in order to be interested in stories from Israel.
Yeah, I'd like to speak with you a little about the English version. Since, as you say, the people who listen to it are all over the world, and I imagine that the people who listen to the Hebrew version are mostly in Israel, I was wondering if you have the same format and the same subject matter, because I'm sure that the people who listen to the Hebrew version in Israel probably know a lot more about Israel, and so maybe the English version, if you would have to use different kinds of topics or different kinds of subject matter or something, because they might not be as aware of certain things that the Hebrew speakers would be.
Absolutely. So that's a great question. When we first began our English show, we thought, oh, this is very easy. We already have a whole season worth of stories. All we have to do is translate the greatest hits. And you know, here we have a podcast. But in fact, what we realized very, very early on was that unlike any film, you can't just slap subtitles onto a podcast. And you have to go back to the interviewees and re-record them once more, this time in a language which is often not their native tongue. And sometimes the stories got better, but more often than not, they completely fell apart. So we started shifting away from that model and moving towards basically two separate shows. And today, the overlap content-wise is maybe 10%. So it's the same team working on creating both shows, but almost all of the stories are stories that are either created specifically for the Hebrew show or specifically for the English show. And that, as you pointed out, wasn't just kind of a translation issue. It was a translation issue on various different levels. So as you said, stories by definition require a certain degree of common knowledge. So when you say, you know, a name of a neighborhood or an army base or whatever, you have to assume, it assumes a certain kind of familiarity with that, and you assume that it conjures up in the listener's mind all kinds of associations and so on and so forth that you don't have to totally spell out. And of course, when you're talking to an audience which is not an Israeli audience, then the shared common knowledge is of a different nature. And we thought about these kinds of things a lot. And of course, not only about things that pertain to Israel, but also things that pertain to Judaism. So, for example, can you say a word like yeshiva on the podcast? Or do you have to say yeshiva and then open a parenthesis and say, you know, a Jewish learning center? Or can you say Shabbat? Or do you have to explain what Shabbat is? Can you say kippah? So it was both a terminology from the Jewish world and, of course, things pertaining more specifically to Israel. But even more interesting than that is that we noticed that the kind of content that our audiences wanted and sort of craved for was different. So often in the English show, we could air stories that for perhaps slightly more cynical Israeli ears would sound to be a little bit cliche or would sound to be or would maybe be too familiar because they've already been sort of, you know, they've heard them elsewhere in Israeli media. And just, you know, it's a constant process of trying to figure out what resonates most with audiences. And we put a tremendous amount of emphasis in research on researching which stories and which episodes swayed well in which sectors and so on and so forth to understand really what it is that interests our audience. And of course, we're not here only to please our audience. We're also here to tell the stories that we believe are important to tell. But you do take into account what kind of content people are interested in hearing.
Is it very hard to find people in Israel who speak English well enough to be able to participate?
No, it isn't. By and large, Israelis are relatively good English speakers. You know, we grew up with television in English, and, you know, everyone studies English at school. So I would say of the younger generation, you know, you can basically assume that people have at least a basic level of English. And I'm married to an Italian woman, and in Italy, as you might know, I don't know what it's like in Spain, but in Italy they dub all of the American TV series and films, and as a result, a lot of people literally don't speak English because they haven't really heard that much English. But in Israel, the situation is different. People do, by and large, speak English. Of course, not everyone, and not at the same level. And we often will interview people in Hebrew and dub them. And also, I mean, yes, it is true that does, to a certain extent, skew the kind of offering that we make in terms of stories, because there's certain populations where English is really just not spoken at the same level, and we do you know, we need to profile those people as well and include those people as well.
How many episodes are there each year? Each episode is about an hour long, right? 50 minutes an hour. How many are there each year?
So we work in seasons, and usually we work on every episode for many, many months. So in an average season, we'll have anywhere between 10 and 18 episodes, and then we take breaks between the seasons during which we collect material for other stories. And many stories, I mean, a story is not something that comes together from today to tomorrow. Many stories are a result of us following subjects for months and in certain cases, even years.
We have about 2 minutes left. I was wondering if there's anything else you'd like to add that we might have left out.
Well, the most important thing that I'd like to add is that I hope that people listen to the show. You can find it on any podcast platform. The English show is called Israel Story, and the Hebrew show is called Sipur Israeli. And we also, I would say maybe one thing that we haven't touched on yet is that about 4 years ago, we started producing live shows, which are basically staged adaptations of our episodes. And we work with some of Israel's most talented musicians and artists and animators and dancers and so on and so forth on these live shows. And we tour mainly in North America, but not exclusively. And we are just now working on our upcoming Yom HaTzmaut live show tour in May 2019, all over America and Canada. And I hope that listeners will be able to both tune into the podcast and potentially even come and see a live show.
Thank you very much, Mishi.
Of course. Thank you.
Well, that's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you. So please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is English Corner at RadioSephirah.com. See you next week.